And we go from music and musicals to perhaps, well, certainly one of the best experts in America on musical theater. I'm talking encyclopedic knowledge by this man. He's Peter Felicia. He is, let's see, where's his, oh my goodness, I didn't print out his many, many. Peter, you know, we're old friends. Why don't you tell everybody all the wonderful things? Let's put on a musical, the book you wrote. You also host the Theater World Awards. Tell the world all the other things that Peter Felicia does these days.
I will not. I'm embarrassed. Anyway, here we are. Let's talk about the matters at hand. I was very glad to hear Tracy Bennett there because I think she's extraordinary. We just gave her a Theater World Award on Tuesday as one of the great performances of the year, debut performances. That's what we do with the Theater World. And I'm rooting for her to win the Tony on Sunday night. It's a very controversial performance because it does not show Judy Garland at her best, and as a result, a lot of people are very offended by it. There was even some talk of picketing the theater.
Oh, come on.
I think it's the most brilliant performance I have ever seen an actress give since Zoe Caldwell in the prime of Miss Jean Brodie during its Boston tryout in 1967. So I'm rooting for Miss Bennett.
Whoa, okay. We were going to talk about two different categories with Peter Felicia because he's such. But before, let us please tell people where they can read your. Are you still blogging for? I don't want to say it if you're not still there. But
No. I do a column every Friday for Kritzerland.com. That's musings on what's going on and off Broadway. On the same day, I do an MTI blog, that's Music Theater International, talking about productions of shows I've seen that they carry, that they license. And on Tuesdays, I do a column for Masterworks Broadway about original cast albums that were originally released on Columbia and RCA Victor Records many moons ago. So that's sort of historical. And I'm the theater critic for the Star Ledger in Newark, New Jersey.
Oh, well, that's all. Little things like that. My God, that's almost half.
Well, ironically enough, I'm going to be writing about some of the shows that you're talking about because I have a book that's due in September about musicals that were nominated for the Best Musical Prize but lost.
Ooh.
There will have been 156 of them. So at the moment, there's 153, but there will be 156.
Unless there's a tie.
One of them is going to be Leap of Faith, and I assume that Nice Work, If You Can Get It, will be the another, although I haven't written about the other two, Newsies or Once, because we'll have to wait and see.
You think it's going to be a real horse race there as to...
Yeah, I think so. In terms of orchestrations, which is what you asked me to talk about, I do believe Martin Lowe will win for Once because it has a distinctive sound. This is Irish music. It's not really show music as we know it. But what a beautiful and haunting score. I will grant you the fact that only one song really is not from the movie Once that predated the musical. But nevertheless, his work on this show really has a distinctive sound. And we always love the orchestrations that sound distinctive, unlike any other. 1776 certainly is a case of that. That's Eddie Sauter. Canterbury Tales is another one where it's unique, you know, and we seem to appreciate the unique scores, the sounds of orchestration. So I'm really thinking that Once has it over, Nice Work If You Can Get It, and the Gershwin's Porgy and Bess, even though both of those are very accomplished work by Bill Elliott and Nice Work, and the combination of William David Brown and Christopher Janke for the Gershwin's Porgy and Bess, as they like it called this year. It's fine work.
The interesting thing
about Nice Work is, of course, that the orchestrator Bill Elliott had to do it with fewer pieces than one would like to hear in a Gershwin show because, after all, orchestras are getting smaller and synthesizers are getting more prominent. So it was a tough job for him to do, and yet he did make a good sound. Frankly, it'd be fine with me if Danny Troupe won for Newsies the Musicals, mostly because I've been a Danny Troupe fan since 1960. When I saw his Hasty Pudding show in Cambridge, Massachusetts, that Harvard Club that puts on drag shows every year. And he was an excellent composer that year, and he's since segued into orchestrations. And he's very, very talented, and he certainly has given a distinct sound to the sound of Newsies. And yet, because all those three sound like Broadway musicals, I think Once will stand out of the pack because it doesn't sound like a Broadway musical, and I think the others will cancel themselves out.
I was going to ask about Porgy and Bess, since that's a fairly well-known well, not a fairly well-known scholar.
To say the least.
Well, in other words, your thoughts on any kind of specifics that you would hear in the new orchestrations that you might not have heard before on certain songs. Are there things that you pick out and you look for, and you go, ooh, that flute was kind of nice. Anything like that?
An occasional riff, an occasional clarinet sound, an occasional trumpet blare, but nothing that really made me say, wow, that's a completely new approach. Now, that doesn't mean I'm right, but nevertheless, and I've seen it twice, by the way, this production. Once was not enough. And while I certainly appreciate the sound of the music, it didn't strike me as being particularly distinctive. There's certainly a populist approach to the music, because, again, what they wanted to do this time with Porgy and Bess was not have it be an opera. They wanted it to be a musical. And so there is a bit of a lightness to the proceedings, but it wasn't as if I felt I was hearing a completely different sound to it. It's a bit lighter, a bit airier, yes, but nevertheless, not enough to make me sit up and say, ooh, that was a good move. To be fair, you know, I'm not a musician by trade, and as a result, it's very, if you hear anybody else say, oh, wait, in bar 32, look what he did there, you know, listen to that person. That person is going to have far more expertise than I in this situation. But nevertheless, in terms of the way it hit my ears, the once orchestration was the one that really made me say, that is very nice. That is very different. And that's what I like most of all in orchestrations.
Now we're going to move with Peter Felicia to a whole different category, a non-musical category, but a pretty important one. I was just talking to Joe Domanowitz of the Daily News about it. Revival of a play, which has Death of a Salesman going up against Gore Vidal's The Best Man, Masterclass, and the Revival of Wit with Cynthia Nixon. So wanting to know your thoughts, Peter Felicia.
Well, truth to tell, I'm a little sad that The Best Man, or Gore Vidal's The Best Man, was mounted this year, because it is such a stunning production. It really deserves the prize in any other year. Unfortunately, the Death of a Salesman production is really it closed this past weekend, really gangbusters. It's an astonishing revival. And first off, it gets credit for using the original Joe Melzina set, and also it gets a great deal of credit, too, for using the Alex Knopf's background music, which is really quite lovely. So, but Philip Seymour Hoffman is magnificent in it. So is Andrew Garfield as Biff, and Linda Emond is marvelous as it was, I should say, because I say it closed, as Linda, and a newcomer named Finn Wittrock playing Happy made quite an impression. I've seen seven productions of Death of a Salesman dating back to 69. I'll grant you, I'm not old enough to have seen the famous Lee Cobb original, but I've seen the Brian Dennehy one, I've seen the Dustin Hoffman one, I've seen productions here and there that have been very, very good. However, this was the finest of the seven that I've seen. So I have no doubt it's going to go to Death of a Salesman. But my, this Best Man production, Best Man was produced a dozen years ago on Broadway, and at that point it seemed creaky and old, and it doesn't in this production at all. John Larroquette is very good as a political candidate who has a great deal of integrity, while on the other hand, Eric McCormick doesn't. And it's no question which of them is the best man, but they do very nice battle with each other. And what happens at the end is somewhat of a surprise. I guess not as much of a surprise as it would have been when it was first produced in the 60s. But still, it's potent, it's entertaining. It gave us another chance to see Angela Lansbury. God love her. She walks with a cane in this production because she hurt herself. Now, when you think how many young people who are performing on Broadway call in sick when they get a paper cut, do you know how many trees we lose every day because they have to print up paper slips saying at this performance the role of so-and-so will be played by? I mean, really, it's scandalous. But Angela Lansbury has certainly been there for this production, even if she has to use a cane. Yeah. So it's really quite nice. Candace Bergen is in it, too. And a lot of good people. And last but hardly least, James Earl Jones, who really is quite fine as a previous president, who has his opinions on who should win this race and whom he should endorse. So that's really quite nice. Masterclass certainly was fine, and Time Daily was marvelous. Nobody's going to top Zoe Caldwell in the original production. Nobody. But nevertheless, Time Daily certainly gave a good run for the money. And Wit was a very competent production as well, quite good. This is a very strong category. I mean, sometimes, of course, the Tonys are notorious for filling out a category with anything at all, just so it won't be embarrassing, because after all, most of the people watching have not seen these shows. I'm talking about watching at home. Yeah. They haven't seen these shows, so as a result, they hear these titles and they take them at face value, that these must be worthy productions, and only the people who have seen them know that they are toss-ins just to fill out the category. That's not the case with Revival of a Play. These were four very, very fine production. This may be, in fact, the year in which Best Revival of the Play met its apotheosis, that there have never been four such fine productions vying for the prize.
Wow. We are meeting our apotheosis here at the 8th Annual Tony Awards by having people like Peter Felicia talking about musicals and plays. And Peter, we just have another couple of minutes with you, but I wanted to get your opinions on, especially for musicals, over the past season. They could be on Broadway or off. Your overall thoughts on, maybe we didn't talk about them, you know, yet. So what were your thoughts on this year's musicals?
Well, most like everybody else, it wasn't the finest year for musicals, needless to say. I do think Newsies has certainly struck a chord. It's a very angry show, and we're in an angry time in our history. So as a result, I think a lot of people will go and have their feelings worked out through this musical, because here are these down-and-out kids who really are trying to battle against the establishment, and it seems like an impossible battle. Well, many of us feel that way in this country right now. So as a result, Newsies is more potent for what it makes us feel rather than by what it achieves in book, music, and lyrics, which are all fine and acceptable. Once, I have to admit, the story for me drives me a little crazy, because it is about a woman who tries to control a man who just lets her do it. Now, supposedly, it's for his own good, but I like characters who make things happen, and I would like him to make things happen, not need a woman to do it for him. She's also a foreign language person. She's Czechoslovakian, and she's in Ireland. And I have to say, for a woman for whom English is the second language, she comes up with quips awfully quickly. It seems the way that it's directed, no sooner does he get out his final syllable that she already has a smart answer for every one of his questions. So I don't quite buy it, and I didn't enjoy it for the reasons I just said. But nevertheless, the music really is quite nice and haunting. It's not show music. It's not my type of music. It's not the type of music that got me buying everything that had the words original cast an album on a disc. But nevertheless, it's a score that I certainly have enjoyed listening to as a different type of music. So that was fine with me to hear that happen. Leap of Faith, I didn't think was much good at all. It's by the same composer as Newsies, Alan Menken, who certainly will win for best score because it's his turn more than anything else. He hasn't won a Tony Award yet, and we're a little embarrassed. The guy who really grew up on Broadway and off-Broadway, especially with Little Shop of Horrors, has 8 Oscars and no Tonys. So, but nevertheless, Leap of Faith was not top-notch work, and it's already gone as well. The fewest shortest running shows to be nominated for Best Musical. So, and nice work if you can get it. I thought was pretty lousy, frankly. I don't wish it well. It was a throwback to the era of musicals when they were stupid. But this is so stupid that in the way that it's treated that I think you might as well have just done the show Okay or Lady Be Good, which is what it's referencing, those Gershwin shows, when shows were really silly before the Rodgers and Hammerstein Revolution. And this one is particularly dim-witted. I guess they called it Nice Work If You Can Get It because the title Dumb and Dumber was taken already. So anyway, I dare say it's a two-team race.
Yeah, well, I've got like less than a minute because I have to do some other stuff on the Total Theater Tony show. But I want to ask you real quick your favorite musical of the off-Broadway season.
The one I just saw, I guess. Does it count? February House. It's not perfect, but it is about a group of bohemians living together and the conflicts that emerge. It's the music and the lyrics that are quite potent, and I really like that quite amazingly. So I thought that was very good indeed. So that's my choice for Off-Broadway musical.
Well, Peter Felicia is certainly our choice here at the Tobel Theater Tony Show for any kind of expertise when it comes to music and to theater. Tell everybody again real quick where they can read you.
Masterworks Broadway, MTI Shows, Kritzerland, the Newark Star Ledger, and my newest book is Broadway Musical MVPs, the Most Valuable Players of the Last 50 Seasons.
You are certainly one of the most valuable players that we have on the other side of the curtain. Peter Felicia, thank you so much for your wonderful thoughts.
God love you. Until then, Dave.
Thanks.
Bye.
Man.